this episode of the Eat Check. It's a Friday, folks. Happy Friday. I am heading to Glendale, Arizona tomorrow for the Final Four to watch my UConn Huskies. I don't actually have any real allegiance to them except for money, but to watch my UConn Huskies go to the national title game. Julius Randle, by the way, out for the season. That is fucking terrible. Doc Rivers continues on the blame train. We play the blame game. I love ya. The Bucks obviously are stinking. That's why that's happening. We introduce you to evil Dante DiVincenzo, a.k.a. Malachi Flynn. And now we can judge whether the league's 65-game mandate was a success or not. So come on, Anthony. Do me a favor, folks. Let's get right into it and drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. All right, so we have no huge stories at the end of the season. We got, like, the biggest, probably, development is that probably the Sacramento Kings are going to ride this thing out into a play-in. That's the only way they can get into the playoffs. They had a massive lead tonight, or last night, I guess, because you're listening to this tomorrow, on the New York Knicks. And guess what they did? They let it all slip away. And I think they still lost by double digits in a game that they were 3.5-point dogs to. So terrible, terrible stuff. Kawhi tweaked his back. He might miss some time. Clippers lose to the Nuggets. They are going to try to figure out how to get Harden to, like, be a good version of Harden. Like, oh, you don't say, Trista? Harden is, like, not good at the end of the season or in the postseason? You don't? Really? You're shocked. Also, Warriors put the stake through the Rockets' heart, and they locked up a play-in tournament spot. And AD finally says the quiet part out loud when he admits that he and Braun checked themselves back into a game that the Lakers needed to win without telling Darvin Ham. Not a lot of huge stories, but pretty interesting, I tell you what. After 2 months out, though, this is the big story. Julius Randle will have season-ending shoulder surgery. Why didn't he just have surgery earlier? I guess he was hoping that at some point he'd come back. This is just a very significant blow to a team that desperately needs additional wing help. Like, Josh Hart is a fine player, right? Like, he's fine. But when we're asking Josh Hart to play 40 minutes and, hey, Josh, give me a triple-double, Josh Hart was like a random bench god off the Portland Trailblazers that they got a late first-round pick for. And we got to have Josh Hart be the main dude. That's tough. They are now going to miss Randle's size as well as his offense, I'm sure. To his credit, Randle's devastated. We are devastated by the news. He tried to come back, but the decision was made by him and his team and probably the Knicks to undergo surgery. And that means that the Knicks hope this season falls squarely on the return of OG Anunoby and that elbow. Throw them bows. I talked about OG in the context of my question, of a question to my co-host Ryan Horvath that we asked on the other show, BetMGM Tonight. He asked what players have the most to lose and to gain in the playoffs this year. And for me, it's OG Anunoby. Here's a snippet of our conversation.
So I was thinking about this last night, and I also kind of ripped it off of ESPN, which I usually don't even look at their website. I don't watch ESPN other than Scott Van Pelt. Shout out Scott Van Pelt at night.
Yep.
But they had the topic, and it was who has the most to gain in the NBA playoffs. And I was thinking who has the most to gain, but I'm a negative guy. So I was thinking who has the most to lose. And I was thinking Jason Tatum, right, because I'm a big JT guy. A couple years ago, I had the NBA Finals futures when Boston started really slow. And then last year, I had more Boston futures, and they didn't even make it to the Finals or the Conference Finals because they got beat by the Heat, which nobody expected because they were a play-in team. And the last couple years, I know he's dealt with some injuries. But I don't know, man. Jason Tatum, if he wants to be the face of the – I'm not even going to say the face of the league because there's so many dudes now. Jokic, Giannis. But, I mean – he's the best player on the best team in the Eastern Conference, the best team in the league. But if they don't get the job done, and if he doesn't show up and have the clutch stats, the clutch numbers, like I legitimately think he has to average 30-plus the entire playoffs, right, for Tatum? Yes. If he doesn't get the job done and they get bounced early and he averages 22, 23 points per game, shoots like 40%, turns the ball over a bunch, how's he viewed next year? Is he still considered like an MVP candidate, a top 10, top 5 player in this league? Because it's all about the playoffs. It really is.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'd say he has the most to lose in the entire playoffs.
I think he's like a top 9 or 10 player right now, maybe.
Yeah.
but definitely nowhere near the top five.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's so tough right now, though, and it changes like every year. Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, obviously. Who else? I mean, Steph's still top five?
Yes, he's not better than Steph. He's not better than LeBron. He's not better than Kawhi.
I still got LeBron in my top five. I don't care how old he is.
He's not better than Kawhi. I mean, he's not better than a lot of people. I would rather have Dame Lillard than Jason Tatum.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Dame Lillard has shown to be very clutch in many, many situations more than Jason Tatum.
What player do you think has the most to gain? I'm going to go with Ant Edwards. I think, like, if Minnesota makes a run, he's so good. And I still feel like him and Shea, I feel like there's still people. And now Shea's at least on some commercials, and if you're watching March Madness, like, you can't get enough Shea and Chet. But I'm going to go with Ant because I still feel like there's people that don't know about him, and he could go off for 30, 40 any night. He could put anybody on a poster, and he's still a baby. Like, he's still a kid. He's still got baby fat on him.
Yeah,
he's,
like,
the closest thing to Kobe, Michael Jordan, I can remember. And he's a killer.
Ant is obviously a big one. Karl Anthony Towns is a big one. If he can play well, come back in the playoffs, end up, I'll say him, but I'll tell you why, and then I have one other as well. But if he can come in and stay out of foul trouble, not be the baby, crybaby that we've known him to be when there's adversity, if him and Rudy can play together and keep that defense really solid in the half-court game, I think the Timberwolves as a whole have a lot to gain. But another player that has a ton to gain, and also a lot to lose, is OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby is a free agent this offseason, and he wants 4 years, $170 million. If he's not healthy and he can't play in that first round, or if he's not effective, the Knicks are going to have a hard time giving him that money. And I think there are other teams that probably are less palatable or less savory that will be suitors of his and may even offer him less money. So if he wants to be a Knick and he wants his bread, he better show out. And that's maybe why he's sitting out right now, is to just get that inflammation down until it's absolutely critical that he plays. Because he could play right now. I'm telling you, he could play right now. It would be slightly painful, but he would do it and he would be effective. We saw in the game against the Kings and in the Warriors, he basically had like a dead shooting arm.
Yeah.
He couldn't even lift it. He wants to play through pain, but that's not a good idea. So
no,
for him, I think he has a lot to gain and lose.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the other thing I was going to do right before we got to the playoffs, and I do it every single year, is I'm going to look at upcoming free agents. I'm not going to like blindly bet their props like people do with the NFL incentives. Odell Beckham Jr. needs 13 grabs, and he's going to make an extra $75K. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Odell Beckham Jr. is going to go out there and catch 14 passes for $75K. But I am going to look at guys like Jalen Brunson a couple of years ago for the Dallas Mavericks that are during, it's a contract year. Because you know they're going to ball out in the playoffs to get the big money deal. So that's a really good point about OG. I was looking at Pascal Siakam, but then they extended him, Indiana. Because I don't think the Pacers could like win a playoff series, but if they get the right matchup like we talked about last night, I would love to see them against Milwaukee. I know Milwaukee fans don't want to see that, but I really want to see that matchup.
I don't think that they've extended him.
They didn't? I thought that they, when they made the trade, that they signed him up for, that they extended him for 3 years.
No, sir.
Yeah, I see he's a UFA right now, but I thought that was wrong.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, then I might be looking at some Pascal Siakam props when we get there.
Yeah, I think OG needs to play as well as humanly possible in order to get his guap. Like, I think he's trying to get 4 years, $120 million. Trying to get 30 mil a year. He could play his way in, like, he's trying to get his guap, or he could play his way out of it. And as for the Knicks, I like their chances of winning a first-round matchup, especially if they catch the Cavaliers. But without Julius Randle and a banged-up OG Anunoby, it's going to be tough sledding in New York for them to be the contender that we were hoping for them to be. Someone that maybe could make some noise and shake things up, give the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks a little scare. And now, nobody's scared. Moving forward, in other news, Doc, why does he do it? Like, what is the deal? You know, this is great content, right? We love that. We love it when Doc, like an AI-generated human being walking the earth, blesses us with gold, quotes of ignorant gold. But I just do not understand why he says these things out loud. I say a lot of things out loud I should not say, but it would take me getting aggregated about two times for me to be like, I should be more careful with the words that I choose. This means this, right? And he, no matter what's going on, won't say, hand up, I'm struggling. hand up, I got some things to clean up on my end. So who is Doc Rivers blaming now? At first, he blamed his own team, the players. Their heads are not in the game. He blamed when he came on to the team and like how late in the season it was and how coming in around the All-Star game is just no one would know. What do you say? Like, this is not a job that I would wish on anyone. To coach Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The latest, man, I would not want to be an intern in this office right now. The latest is that the Doc Rivers and the Bucks have lost four of the five games, last five, including losses to the Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies by double digits on the road. Like, the Memphis Grizzlies have guys that I didn't even know were on the team. Did you know Scottie Pippen Jr. was on the Memphis Grizzlies, or did you think maybe he was still on the LA Lakers? Because I did. No. He's getting buckets right now. They've lost eight of their last 14 games. The Bucks are now 15-15 in his tenure as the head coach. Remember, Adrian Griffin got fired for being 30-13. So, what could it have been? How could he be blaming someone so obscure that he becomes a segment on this show? Let's take a gander, shall we?
It's funny, I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes, I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. And that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
I have a coworker who went to Vegas with me, and he was out every night till 3, 4 a.m., and the boss kept seeing him out for whatever reason. They just kept running into each other. The boss was just waking up for the day, getting his steps in, and my co-host was just coming back for the night. Nothing wrong with that. Like, poker doesn't start until midnight. You get on a heater. Who knows? That's fine, right? But, like, when I hear that, I'm like, man, more people trying to hold our guys down. Doc Rivers knows that players go out on the road. I don't know what the fuck. The travel crew, though? Like, you're blame. What does that even mean? The travel crew. Is there a part of this NBA ecosystem that I don't quite fully comprehend? Because, like, the travel crew, in my mind, and I must be ignorant. I must be. The travel crew, in my mind, is, like, booking the flights, getting the hotels that are preordained destined for you because it's the same team hotel in every fucking NBA city. It's the same one every time. It's like the Ritz or the Four Seasons every time. So they're getting you your hotels, but you got a flight, but it's a chartered flight, so that's taken care of. You got the equipment managers. You got the guys giving out per diem. What is the travel crew? I don't understand. Like, can someone explain to me what that is? And he's like, I'm making notes and a lot of them, but I'm not gonna share what those notes are to you. It feels, I'm gonna say it, and it's not gonna sound good, but it feels very Trumpian. And I've been making a lot of notes, but I will not share what they are. Like, lots of notes. I've got the greatest notes. I've got so many notes, books and books and notes. So then I'm like, okay, this clip could not get worse, could it? And it does. Let's check that out.
As a coaching staff, we have to figure out what we need to do different as far as practices and training. As a travel staff, not talking players, we may have to do something different there too because something's missing. And everybody seems happy, you know, but except for me after a game.
Except for me, everybody seems happy except for me. Oh, man. Who's happy? You think Dame's happy? He's getting DMPs. He's literally, like, injured. You think Chris Middleton with his inflamed ankles and knees, you think he's fucking happy? You think Giannis right now is happy with you at 15-15? You think that John Horst is happy that he has three guys, three different men on the payroll for the exact same job and none of them are doing it well? two guys are at home and they're doing it better than the current guy? No one's happy right now. No Bucks fan is happy right now. Doc, more like Nurse Rivers. Holy shit, this man. How does he do it? How does he find new ways to pass the blame baton? I swear to God, when Milwaukee flames out in the first round, I would not want to be the towel boy. I promise you that. Because you're getting thrown under the bus. You better watch out now. Put in your resignation in game six when the Bucks are up. Because it's coming. That melt, folks, is coming. All right, let's move forward. So I did a video about this on social, but it's just so improbable that I needed to dig into this deeper. I'm talking about Malachi Flynn. What's up with Malachi Flynn? Oh, you know, just a role player who made NBA history by putting up 56-5 off the bench, which no one in NBA history has ever done, ever in life, ever. All the NBA players that have come in, come out, ones that have just been the sixth man of the year, the Jamal Crawfords of the world. Nope, it's Malachi Flynn alone on the rock by himself. So we got to break it down. In this season of incredible scoring feats, no more shocking stat line than that. If you missed it, no one blames you. Guess who's putting up 50 points? The evil Dante DiVincenzo, a.k.a. Malachi Flynn. He's the throw-in. So who is he? He was a throw-in in two trades this season. This season, came off the bench for the Pistons. He became the third non-starting player in NBA history with 50. The thing that's crazy is, like, he shot 18 for 25. He went 5 for 9 from 3, meaning he was shooting every 75 seconds. And, like, in not like game time, in real time, in like clock, like set your clock to it time. So where is he from? He spent 3.5 years with the Raptors, had a decent rookie year. But, of course, when you play for Nick Nurse and you're not over 27, you're probably not getting any minutes. He went from 20 minutes a game to 13 minutes a game, and then he was moved. Got traded from Toronto to New York, and then worse situation, right? Just a much, like, probably worse. Nick Nurse, Tom Thibodeau, you're either playing 13 minutes for Nick Nurse or you're playing 3 minutes for Tom Thibodeau, which is exactly what he was doing. He was so deep in, on the bench, we didn't even know he was there, except for that he looked strangely like the other guy on the team getting a lot of minutes, Dante DiVincenzo. And then he gets shipped off to Detroit in the Evan Fournier deal, which sent Quentin Grimes and Evan Fournier to Detroit in return for Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks. Thought it was a good trade, and in hindsight, it was not. The only problem, Monty Williams, third coach for Malachi Flynn, who also hates young guys, doesn't want to play him, does not want to play him. Dude cannot catch a break. So he decided on that night, on that fateful night, he was going to make his own breaks. Yeah, you put me in the game, coach, and I am lighting it up. Played about 15 minutes a game until the past week. That he comes off the bench in the first quarter against the Hawks and then proceeds to immediately go nuclear. Nuclear, folks. Twisting, diving floaters, mid-range jumpers, off-balance threes for 3-1. He even had time, made time, for 3 steals as well. It was everywhere, all at once, like the film that won the Oscar. And of course, the Pistons lost still in his incredible game, 118-112. A lot of people like Malachi Flynn. I believe, outside of going to Wazoo, he went to San Diego State, but I cannot be sure. And to be fair, he did average 19-5-5 the last 5 games of his rookie year. But I don't know that anybody saw this coming, except for maybe Dante DiVincenzo, who probably shares a brain with him. Let's see how long it takes, though, because Monty Williams, he's like, hey, boy, hey, man, hey, sir, you're going back to the bench. Moving on, quick question. How do you think the Leeds load management rules have gone this year? New rule, new situation. How are we doing? What's up? This is a major change. Impacts things like MVP, All-NBA, lots of money, of course. So we're starting to get a clearer idea of how it's impacted the game. The results actually, shockingly, kind of like the play-in tournament, poo-pooed, hated, dismissed, positive. This season, the following players have surpassed their previous 5-year average for games played. Zion has played 65 games compared to his 38-game average. Kawhi has played 68 games compared to his 52-game average. Paul George, 69 games, nice, compared to his 53-game average. LeBron, 67 games compared to his 53-game average. Anthony Day-to-Day Davis, 71 games compared to a 50-game average. Kevin Durant has played 69 games, nice, compared to his 45-game average. Others who should surpass 65 games this year, C.J. McCollum. He played 60 games, opposed to 49 in his five-game average. Five-year average per each year. You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying. Brandon Ingram, he's played 63 games before his injury compared to his 53-game average for the year. Not easy to say. You know what I'm trying to say. Steph Curry played 69 games as well, opposed to his 51-game five-year average. And the most games, by the way, he's played since 2016-2017. Luka will have played more games than at any time since his rookie year. You get the point. The list goes on and on. Safe to say, Adam Silver is fucking elated. Other than Joel Embiid going down with a very substantial injury that kept him from being a true MVP candidate, the new rules have been pretty, pretty, pretty good. And what Stan Van Gundy said about Zion might apply to the rest of the league as well. Run them. Run them like the horses that they are. Just run them. Run them around the track. Don't let them slow down. Don't let them sit down. Don't let them stand down. Yeah, remember? Sam Van Gundy was like, hey, all Zion needs to do is just play as much as possible. That's the truth. That's the trick from Duke. And until he busts through his shoes, keep that man. He's a running. So these guys playing on days that they normally might have rested because the new league rules might keep them playing on the court. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back Monday for an all-new episode and check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes, which drop unexpectedly like Doc Rivers blaming the travel team. Don't know what that means. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head down the stretch. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends, all of them. Even Greg Popovich, who told Doug McDermott at his exit interview after last season, you may be one of the worst defenders I've ever coached, but you can shoot the leather off the ball, kid. I want to see you next September. Tell him, hey, Pop, if you really want to hear some sick burns, some truth bombs, listen to the Heat Check with Trista Crick. And do not forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And at some point, I promise you, I know, YouTube. See you next time.